The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Advent is from Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins, they shall raise up the former devastations, they shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their offspring shall be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of the peoples. All who seek them shall acknowledge them, that they are an offspring of the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. This is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed, and he did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now, they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So sometimes we Lutherans can get a bad rap. It's probably more due to the fact that our church's heritage is German. But sometimes we can be stereotyped as stiff, stoic, as if we're unemotional sorts of folks, that we're not all that concerned about feelings. Yet, here we are on the third Sunday in Advent, lighting the pink or for those liturgically inclined, the rose candle on our Advent wreath, which of course, perhaps you recall, is the candle of joy. The candle of joy. So traditionally, the third Sunday in Advent is Gaudete Sunday, which is just a fancy Latin word for rejoice. Rejoice. So you might say, we have a whole Sunday set aside for a feeling, for an emotion. Joy. Rejoice. It's like we're taking a little breather from the somber, penitential nature of Advent because we can see the bright, beautiful light that is just around the corner, just up ahead. Christmas is, after all, 8 days away. It is so close, but not quite here yet. Not yet. Of course, you all know the reason why we have joy and we can rejoice, right? Christ the Savior has come into the world to redeem us. So when John the Baptist is on the scene, as we heard in our gospel reading, he, the one sent by God to prepare, to make straight the way of the Lord, to clear the path for the Lord, when he arrives now on the scene, we are so close. John came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light. He came to bear witness about the light. Who are you? They asked repeatedly. I am not the Christ. He did not deny, but he confessed. He confessed with his mouth, I am not the Christ. I am not the light. I am here to point you to the light. I am the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. And he goes on to say, I baptize with water, but among you, already here among you, stands one who you do not know, even the one who comes after me, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to even stoop down and untie. So we're close. The path is being paved. The light of the world is coming, is indeed among the people. He's already on the scene. He is far greater, far superior to me, John confesses. He's already here. He is standing among you. Now, being so close, as John points us to the Messiah who is coming and here now, being so close should generate a few feelings and emotions in your cold, dead Lutheran hearts. Feelings like excitement, maybe. Some anticipation, some wonder, some delight, some happiness, and yes, some joy. After all, God loves us so much that he sent his Son into our flesh to be our brother, to be our substitute, to die in our place, to free us from sin, and to give us eternal life. So it's okay if that good news puts a smile on your face every once in a while. It's wonderful news. Really, the pure gospel that you get to hear every Sunday, the pure gospel should stir up some emotions and fill you with joy. Rejoice always, Paul says in our epistle from 1 Thessalonians verse 5. And when you hear the Christmas story, if you stick around for the kids to tell the Christmas story, you'll hear in Luke 2, the angels proclaiming to the shepherds, what do they say? Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news. I bring you the gospel, the good news, of great joy. Of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So go ahead. Stoic, unemotional, supposedly Lutherans, supposedly stoic, rejoice, be joyful, you can even smile. For although you are not worthy to even stoop down and untie his sandals, the light has indeed come into the world, and he has shined his light upon you. You are forgiven. You are saved. You are loved. You are cared for. And eternal life is yours in Christ Jesus, in the light. Of course, I don't buy the stereotype for one single second. We are not void of feelings and emotions. We're not even all Germans. So it really is an undeserved stereotype that we have. In God's infinite wisdom, he has fearfully and wonderfully created us with feelings and emotions, right? That's part of what it means to be a human being. Sometimes our feelings and emotions can be very complex and confusing, granted. But it is part of what it means to be human. We rejoice with those who rejoice. We weep with those who weep. Part of repentance that John the Baptist calls us to in our gospel reading, repentance and the forgiveness of sins, part of preparing our hearts for the coming of Christ, is a feeling of sorrow over our sin. That's part of repentance. We also, though, should feel a sense of sweet relief, the weight just being lifted off of our shoulders. We should feel joy when we hear the good news that our Savior has been born to us and our sins are forgiven. Yet, the historic, traditional, confessional, whatever word you want to use, Lutherans have always tried to keep their emotions and their feelings in check. Unlike much of American Christianity that was born out of revivalism, which tried to garner up and manipulate emotions in order to get people to make a decision to follow Jesus. That's, of course, what a revival is. Instead, we strive to keep our emotions and our feelings in their proper place. We don't deny them, but we need to keep them in their proper place. We center ourselves around God's truth, the light, and the light of his word. So just like our reason, our emotions must submit, must be subordered under the word of God and the truth of God and Jesus Christ. In other words, let me ask you this. Can your feelings be wrong? Can your emotions be darkened by sin and lead you away from the light of Christ? Of course they can, which is precisely why our emotions and our feelings cannot be the barometer of truth. Psalm 119, 105 does not say, "My feelings and emotions are a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." What does it say? "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It lightens my path. And a light unto my path." The light has come into the world. And the light, like a bright, beautiful lamp, his word now illumines the path that we are to take in faith and in trust in God. God's word is greater than our feelings and our emotions. So we need to be on guard, and we need to not let our feelings sweep us away into all sorts of insanity, really. For example, you may feel like you are all alone. You may even look around at your situation. You might feel as if God has abandoned you. But that's not true. How do we know that? Well, what do we find lying in the manger that first Christmas morning? "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. God is with us. And Emmanuel has promised, "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you." So it's just not true. Another example, you may feel that there is no way that God could possibly forgive the particularly wicked sins that you have committed. But that's not true. How do we know this? What does John the Baptist say when he points his disciples to Jesus? "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Well, are you part of the world? When Christ is hanging there on the cross and he says, "It is finished," was that for you or was that just for everybody else? Of course it was for you. Another example, you might feel as if you're not all that close to God. But that's not true either. Jesus says, this is my body, this is my blood for the forgiveness of your sins. In 1 Corinthians 10, Paul says, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation or a communion with the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation or a communion with the body of Christ? And Romans 6 says that in baptism, you have been united with him in a death like his, and you shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. So the truth is, you are united to Christ in such a way that you cannot be any closer. On the other hand, you might feel as if sin is actually a good thing. According to our old sinful nature, it often feels good to sin. You may be tempted then to excuse sin because it feels right. But that doesn't make it right, does it? Unfortunately, the world around us has completely given up, and they have let feelings and emotions rule over everything. Whether it's the sin of homosexuality, transgenderism, absent fathers, divorce, or just stomping all over people for the sake of earning the almighty dollar, we are at a point where just about everything is fine, even encouraged, as long as it feels right for you. You do you, as long as you're happy. Never mind the people that you will inevitably hurt in the wake of the destruction that you leave behind. So with just these few examples, we have a quite clear line in the sand, don't we? A line between what we may or may not feel versus God's word and his promises made to you. Our feelings and emotions versus the light and the truth. So you see, our feelings and our emotions can be and are affected by our fall into sin. They are not beyond critique. They can be wrong. They can be darkened by sin, and they can lead us away from the light of the world. So St. Paul teaches us in the epistle reading today, he says, test everything. Test everything, and that includes our feelings and our emotions. So maybe the next time you hear some advice like, follow your heart, or you do what feels right, well, toss that out the window. As children of light, we need to weigh our heart, we need to weigh our feelings against God's word, we need to weigh it against the light, not the other way around. Instead, seek some good advice is to seek out fellow Christian friends, maybe even the pastor, who will, acknowledge that you have feelings and emotions, that is part of what it means to be human, but care about you enough, the whole you, body and soul, to speak God's truth to you. That Christ, the light of the world, is here, and he sheds his light on you through his word. So in that respect, I guess it's kind of true. We Lutherans are definitely cautious when it comes to our feelings and our emotions. We're cautious not to be swept away by them and follow them where they lead, because we understand that they can be wrong and darkened by sin, and at the very least, they are confusing. Instead, we put them in their proper place, subservient, submitting to God's word, his perfect, holy, and clear, illuminating word. Now, I hope that you are filled with the feeling of great joy this Gaudete Sunday. I hope that you're filled today and all day and every day for that matter with great joy. But if you're not particularly swept away by that feeling, that's okay. Always remember that you have something far greater. For the joy that you have in Christ Jesus, in the light, is far deeper and far greater than any feeling, any emotion that you may or may not have. Because those feelings might be here one second and leave you the next. You have something greater. You have joy because you have Jesus, the one John the Baptist points us to this morning, the one, the babe of Bethlehem, the one who has come into the world to be your substitute because he loves you. The light has indeed come into the world, and the light has shined its light upon you to forgive you and to save you. And he has given you the gift of the Holy Spirit. He has made you now a new creation with good, right, and salutary feelings and emotions, including joy. And he has given you a faith, like John the Baptist, to confess, not deny, but to confess, Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. So go ahead, dear Lutherans, smile, rejoice. Have great joy. John the Baptist now is on the scene. And that means that Christmas is just around the corner. It is so close. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.